Well, I guess it's always good to be able to pull something out of mothballs, you know. Well, James and I always get a kick out of what somebody said years ago. J.C. Brown said he knew a preacher, and he hadn't preached but about two or three times all year. And he said, "I tell you, they're just a preaching me to death." Well, I guess that's what's happening to me this morning. Yeah. Found in Matthew chapter 18, begin reading at verse 1. I trust we will be praying for the Zieglers. It's no fun being sick. And sometimes the lasting effects of what's going around is no good either. Matthew 18, verse 1, "At the same time came the disciples unto Jesus, saying, Who is the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? And Jesus called a little child unto him and set him in the midst of them. And said, Verily I say unto you, except ye be converted and become as little children, ye shall not enter into the kingdom of heaven. Whosoever therefore shall humble himself as this little child, the same is greatest in the kingdom of heaven. And whosoever shall receive one such little child in my name receiveth me. But whosoever shall offend one of these little ones, which believe in me, it were better for him that a millstone were hanged about his neck, and that he were drowned in the depths of the sea." Brother Tedro, would you stand and pray for me this morning?
Father, thank you for this time of worship. Father, thank you for Brother Gibson's commitment and dedication to serve the Lord. And pray now that you will give him that physical strength that he needs.
Yes.
Touch his mind, open his heart, that he might share the truth of the peace. Help us receive your truth.
It seemed like different times the disciples were interested in who's going to be the greatest. Well, I don't know. I doubt there's anybody here this morning worrying about that. It seemed like so many times individuals are willing just to take a back seat and let somebody else do it. But we have a place that the Lord would have us to fill. And the Lord said, except you be converted and become as little children. So it's not how great we can be, how big we can be, how starchy we can be, how commanding and bossy we can be. But he said, except we become as little children, we really don't have any part in it. And in Luke's gospel, in the 18th chapter, it said they brought unto him also infants that he would touch them. So that's little bitty Schaefer's. And I suppose it's about the nearest to dedication service that we'd find in the scripture, other than when Zechariah, you know, they brought baby Jesus in after he was born. And Zacharias held him and thanked the Lord that God had kept his promise, fulfilled his promise, and he was able to see the Lord's Christ. But the parents seemed to have a feeling and know that it was blessed and it was good if they could bring their little ones unto Jesus, and he could hold them and love them. Whatever he said or didn't say over them, they seemed to appreciate that. But in Luke's gospel, the disciples got tired of it. They said, we're not running a nursery around here. And if you had very many little ones, it's probably somebody that was squalling and unhappy. And so I can see Judas and maybe some of the other disciples said we could just do a whole lot better if we didn't have all this uproar and all this confusion of having these babies in here. And when Jesus could sense what they were, their attitude and what they were saying, he said, well, and they'd ask the question, who's the greatest, the kingdom of heaven? And so he picked out, and what a privilege it would have been. It would have been your little one if Jesus had picked them out and brought him unto himself and set him there in his lap and said, you know, you want to know who's the greatest in the kingdom of heaven? I'll just show you who's the king, who's the greatest in the kingdom. Well, I'd like to point out a few things about a little child, being a parent and a grandfather and a great-grandfather. But even through the midst of all that, I confess you don't know too much about it. And some of the things that I may point out immediately in your mind, you'll maybe say, well, that sure don't apply every time. And I'm just pretty much convinced that it doesn't. But there's some things in general sense that it may apply. One of the first things about the little one is that they're tender-hearted. I mean, they can sense your feeling, and if you're not pleased with them, then you're on the verge of scolding them. And children vary, and sometimes some are more sensitive than others, and it doesn't take much for some of them to cry. And so you can't apply all the same rules of discipline to the same children, even in the midst of the same family, but they're tender-hearted. And you know, the Lord would have us to be that way this morning. Not hard, not calloused, not unconcerned, but tender-hearted this morning. Jesus, I believe, had a tender heart, a compassionate heart. He realized those little children had that. And he said, except you become as little children, you can't enter into the kingdom of heaven. So the Lord help us to be tender-hearted as he would have us to be. And then another thing is children are able to return love even though they're little. And how sweet and how precious that is, even after they've been corrected and you take them on your lap and love them and they can return that love even after they've been corrected. You know, there's some things in life that are burdens of life that we go through, trials and things that we're not responsible for. And then there's something else that the Lord made clear to us in regard to chastening. He said, if we're children, if we're sons, he'll chasten us. And we have to endure that. I never did like chastening. I never did appreciate it when I was a boy. And my dad thoroughly believed in it, but and I thought he always kind of carried it a little too far, you know. But I suppose times I maybe should have got it when I didn't. I don't know. As children, how stupid you can be sometimes. I don't know why. I remember one time taking the tea kettle off of the stove and putting it to my brother's back end and walking around through the house just holding it right up against me, you know. I never did do that again because my dad, he seen what was going on and he, you know, he really laid it on me for my stupidity, you know. Then I got older, you know, and he used to tell us, you know, he couldn't get you on any other grounds he could always get you, you know, you better get that smirk off your face. Well, when you was on the carpet and about to get thrashed, and that was the last thing in the world that you had was a smirk on your face. But anyway, he could get you on those grounds. And so you had to really strain to try to keep a straight face. We lived in Louisiana, and it was hot down there. And all we had for air conditioning was a little fan, little oscillating fan, you know, about that big around. And then there was one about that size in the church. And so the folks would bring that fan out of the church over in the week, and we'd use it. And so one day, Daddy come in. He said, "I can't get out of the house now. Somebody turns this fan off." And he reached down, turned the thing on, it wound up, flew off of the shaft right into the guard. Oh man, that was so funny. And my younger brother, smaller than I was, he kept his tools out in the trunk of the car. He said, "Keith, you go get the tools." And my brother, he was running along with me. He said, "I nearly laughed out loud." Well, the windows was up, the door was open. Dad heard him say it. So one of the old famous ways of punish us was get the weed cutter and get started cutting weeds. So he put him on the weed cutter, but he made me help him fix that fan. And oh, I was wanting to laugh so bad. And I knew I couldn't. It was awful painful. Well, sometimes we get corrected, and the Lord doesn't delight in correcting us, but he does it for our benefit, that he might perfect holiness in our lives. And I want to be like he wants me to be, and I'm willing to take the correction. I'll know it's for my good. You know it's for your good. So you can praise the Lord for it and thank him for it and try to get on through it. Well, little children are happy. Even small things makes children happy. You know, it doesn't take $1,000 toy or, you know, it just some little something. You know, sometimes they'll push the toys aside and take that cardboard box and crawl in and out of that cardboard box and turn that over and carry on. So, you know, it doesn't, we ought to be appreciative of the little things that God sends our way. He wants us happy. The Lord wants us happy. And we ought to be happy, ought to have his joy. Then there's something about the little child that is dependent upon his parents. There's that trust and that sense of dependency upon him. And I'm dependent upon the Lord this morning, and you are too. You know, somebody sings that song, "I can't even walk except you hold to my hand." Well, there's not anything that we really can do except the Lord helps us. So we're dependent upon him. And then there's something about trust. The little child trusts. Maybe you've seen another, maybe it was stupid, I don't know, maybe, but you've seen fathers take their children, pitch them up in the air and catch them. Oh, you think they slip and let them fall on their heads, you know, it's going to be a bad thing. Or stand them on the table and say, "Jump." And that little child, you know, it knows daddy's going to catch me, and so off he goes. Well, the Lord wants us to trust him. We're not jumping off the table or off of the cliff, but we can trust and depend on him. I think there's something about children, and here, if this point doesn't apply to your children, I don't know what to tell you, but being obedient. my daddy evidently didn't know how to count. I've heard parents, you know, all right, one, Junior didn't pay a bit attention to that. Two, go right on doing what, you know, right on them. And I get to five if you don't. Four and a half. Four and three quarters. No, my dad didn't know how to count. In fact, you know, the scripture talks about the Lord directing us with his eye. All he had to do was look at the empty coal bucket and look at me. Or look at the empty water bucket and look at me. And not say anything, and I knew what to do. It's a privilege to be obedient and do what the Lord would have us to do. Lord, direct me today. Help me to be obedient. You know, there's something about a little child that's unashamed. I've never known one to be ashamed of his parents. I've seen some that I was ashamed of them, the way they looked. I've had parents on my, when I drove the bus, you know, I went and called on this one fellow because I'd thrown the kid off the bus and I went and talked to his dad. Went out there and his dad came out on the porch and there he was, a long-haired hippie. But I got the desired results anyway. But little children are unashamed of their parents. I thought of Toby talking about getting pulled over, you know, the little boy bragging, my daddy's got more speeding tickets than what your daddy's got, you know, and they just brag about their parents regardless of what they've done. And I'm not ashamed of the Lord this morning, and I know you're not either. And he said if we'd be ashamed of him here, that when we come to the judgment, he'd be ashamed of us. We don't want that to happen, do we? We want to let our light shine and not be ashamed of the Lord. And then, little children are forgiving. You know, I've heard individuals say, I'm starting to do a slow burn. Well, I know what they mean. And the longer that goes, you know, the more hatred and revenge and everything builds up. But there's something about a little child. They maybe get into it, but after a little bit, why, their ruckus is ended and squabble is over and they forgive each other and they're happy and going right on and playing just like they had before. The Lord help us to be forgiving. Didn't cost us anything, and it sure costs us a lot if we don't forgive, because the Lord said if we didn't forgive others, he wouldn't forgive us. So we must be forgiving in our heart and in our life. Let's stand. Father, bless your word. Go with us and help us to keep this day holy, to glorify you. Bring us back tonight. In Jesus' name, amen.